Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmally, my co-host here, Dave Popwich. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Faisal. Good, good, good. It's been another interesting week.
And we're opening up the door slowly.
Yeah. Listen, I'm a golfer. I was like elated.
Well, you call yourself a golfer.
Well, that's true.
I've seen
I love golf.
Times.
It doesn't so much like me.
Okay.
I got it, right?
Maybe it'll turn around this season.
Yeah. Maybe. I doubt it.
Sound like a Flames fan. Maybe this year's the year.
Perpetual hope. That's what they should have called the game. That's right. Anyways, we did get some news about that. We're going to have a cool show today. We're going to talk about the gift of time. So we've talked. There's lots of bad news that we hear about all the time. The fact is, when we're socially isolated, when we're staying home, perhaps the workload has changed or you're laid off, you've got time. How do you use it effectively? Mm-hmm. And we're gonna talk to an institution here in Calgary that has been a big benefactor. It's an absolutely necessary institution, and the volunteers are making a big difference. Okay, and they're getting engaged as well, using some of that time.
And what if you don't want to go to your doctor anymore?
Yeah.
What if you're worried about going into the facilities and so forth, and you just want a different way of receiving the same health services, but just not in that location or facility? And so we're going to talk about how, or at least learn about how virtual healthcare works,
yeah,
and how it can help you as an individual. There's some great programs and great technology out there that I think we need to discuss.
And how far it's come. I've been doing some reading about this. It's shocking.
Shocking
what can be done.
It is.
And maybe there's now an acceptance. Right?
Yeah. There's less resistance.
Less resistance. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a that'll be a cool segment.
Okay.
Talk about.
Can I bring up a conversation that I've had with some listeners of this show?
Remember, this is a family show.
Oh yeah, for
Okay.
sure. It's a family conversation.
Okay, good.
And so the conversation came out with, look at the markets, Faisal. April was a great month. Things are going well, Faisal. All I have to do is just rely on my dividends of my stock portfolio.
Okay. Yep.
To live off my lifestyle, my income in retirement.
Yeah.
And it's times like this where when the markets fall, people get very concerned. And when the markets jump up the way it has in the month of April,
mm-hmm,
people go back to, well, this is just, it's fine. I can deal with this, because they're looking in hindsight at volatility. Can we talk about some of these companies that are out there? You were reporting this week on the station about, you know, there's been some slashes of dividends of companies that we've called them dividend aristocrats for so long.
Yeah, well, I'll get to one in particular. But listen, if you're a follower, if you're not a follower of ours in social media, I encourage you to do that, because on the radio, right, we can talk about it. On the social media, I can show you, because I'm going to hold up a chart here.
Yeah.
I can't read them all off, but I can hold up a chart so you get a sense visually of how many Canadian companies have cut their dividends. So let me just hold this up.
Correct.
Okay.
So this is where you start going to the northernmoneyradio.com website to see the list.
Yeah.
And it's about 37 companies that he's holding up on the first page.
Yeah.
On the first page.
Yeah. And so, you know, we have long held, we've had lots of conversations about this. We've been educating for 10 years on this idea of income. And we have always said through that period of time that in our model, and let me be clear, our way is not the only way to do it. It's the only way we do it. But the only way we do it is we never include dividend as income. We include it as part of the total return in the growth bucket.
Yeah, so the dividends, in most people, when they look at a dividend of a stock, they look at that as cash flow to live off of.
Right.
Because in the old days,
right,
it used to be GICs and bonds. You'd get your interest payment and you'd live off of that.
Right.
And because interest rates are so low, they've been high graded to a higher risk, is what I mean.
Right.
And they're going in the stock market and they're getting these dividends between 2 and 8%, depending on the company.
Yeah.
And they're saying, yep, that's my new cash flow. I don't need to worry about anything.
Right.
Until
the board of directors says we need to preserve capital to protect this company, and they slash it.
Yeah. A lot of times getting dividend cash flow is okay.
Right.
But when you have high volatility and you need more money than the dividends that are available, either because they cut their dividend and you need cash flow that's higher,
mm-hmm,
or you need more cash flow.
Right.
Now you're encroaching on capital.
Well, yeah. You're potentially forced into a position where you have to sell some of the shares of a company that produce a dividend in order to create the capital you need to fix your roof, in which case you just have less income coming
in the future.
That's right.
Because you have less shares that are paying out less dividends.
Right. So listen, to all of you that rely on dividends and are fine and your companies haven't been cut, I get it. There's different ways to do this. But these times...
And it's a risky way. It is a way of doing it, but yeah. It's a very high-risk way of doing it.
That's exactly right. We don't believe that you should expose... If in retirement you want income to be predictable and you want it to be sustainable. Right? And we're seeing again. Now, let me give you a good example, because I was talking about Royal Dutch Shell this past week. Royal Dutch Shell hasn't cut a dividend since the Second World War. They just slashed it by about two-thirds. So what happened on the day that they made that announcement? Of course, you have long-term shareholders who have relied on that dividend, Faisal, and it has been steady for 75 years.
Pension plans had right. them, but didn't use the dividends as part of income.
Right.
But retail, individual families and individual investors use it as cash flow for their retirement.
You bet. Now, what happens when they make an announcement like that, first of all, they would have shocked a lot of people. That dividend has been sacrosanct forever. Well, guess what? Now you get a cut in the capital price. The price of the stock on that day fell, if memory serves me correct, about 13%.
Yep.
And I just took a 60% or 63% pay cut on that particular position.
Yeah, why do you want to have the cash flow of a company you own as the only way you're going to live in retirement?
Right.
That if they increase or decrease their dividends, that's going to be the outcome of your lifestyle. Can you do more or less, or have to do less? Because some board of directors said to their company and their shareholders, you, the retiree, needs to get less income.
Right.
Why are you putting yourself in that position?
Yeah. So ask yourself the question, right? I mean, go to the social media feed. You can see this big list, and you know there'll be many people listening that have had the experience, and we don't want that, right? Predictability and sustainability.
And we're not talking about a cut in most cases during crises like this,
right,
of 5 or 10%. When we go through that list, you're seeing 60 to 100% drops,
yeah,
in cash flow of companies that were giving very good dividends, consistent dividends, some for decades.
Well, sure. And it's not just energy, because, yeah, you know, people, yeah, oh, energy. It's not just energy.
It's right. Multiple industries, yeah, in multiple jurisdictions, not just Canada.
Right.
And so this is where you are taking the biggest risk in your retirement to satisfy a need that you don't need to take that risk in order to satisfy that need.
Right.
And so what's happening now is people are saying, Dave, I'm having a fear of missing out.
Yeah.
So we know some people.
Well, best
friends of ours.
Best month. We finished the best month, even though we finished it on a down day on the month. We finished the best month in like 33 years.
Right.
And now the opposite's kicked in, this FOMO issue.
Fear of missing out. And right. That happens when you start to time the market. We have friends that got out of the market pretty much near the low,
yeah,
couldn't handle it, saying they're going to wait for some indication. Markets rally, they're like, okay, now I should get back in.
Right.
Well, you want to know how to lose money?
Right.
Keep on losing.
Right.
And keep on trying to time the market after the market has already reacted.
No, that's true. It's true. It's a common mistake that investors make.
Yeah.
And it can be, you can own really, really good companies. Okay. And you can permanently destroy capital. I mean, if you own a junior company that goes out of business, that's one thing. But if you own really good top quality companies, you can destroy capital permanently by trying to time it, right?
Correct.
The market is not a very efficient pricer of securities in the short term.
Why have we gotten away from just buying really good companies with great balance sheets, fantastic management, that have good growth models in every economic cycle?
Right.
Why has the average investor got away from that? And the answer that I normally get is greed, because I can buy such and such industry and it takes off. But at the end of the day, no matter what happens in this world, good companies are good companies, and they will continue to be good as long as you've done your homework on the financials,
right,
the management, the barriers to enter into that industry.
Yeah.
All these different factors, we call them. We go through 500 to 600 factors,
yeah,
before we buy a stock. Why are we just focusing on dividend without looking at the other factors? Why are we focusing on growth of a stock trajectory,
yeah,
without looking at the other factors?
And the short term, right? And again, listen, this is not easy. I get it. There's an emotional impact when things go haywire and there's uncertainty and fear. All of those factors play a role. But you need a good structure and you need discipline in order to get through that so that you don't end up destroying, permanently destroying capital and still own good companies.
Yeah.
Right? Own good companies and destroy capital permanently shouldn't happen.
Shouldn't happen.
Shouldn't happen.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay. Let's wrap it up. We've got a seminar. Can't call it a seminar. A webinar.
Webinar now. Now it's a webinar. And so this is going to go through the process of how to actually properly structure your investments for income, growth, and other costs that may come down the road through retirement.
Right.
So we're doing this live online on Tuesday, May 19th, 7 p.m. But you need to register. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Need a great idea on how to use some of this extra time you may have on your hands and actually make a difference? Stick around after the break. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.